Oh, wow. I was enjoying that so much, Jeffrey, I forgot to come up. Hello, everybody. Some of you don't know me. My name is Robin Loomis, and I've been a member of this church more years than I can count, and a member of Unity even before then. I was blessed to actually have parents who were in Unity, so I was born into this great church. One thing that always bothers me when people speak, I've always hated those people who think you've got to get up and tell a joke to break the ice. And I personally am the world's worst joke teller. And I only know a single joke. So guess how I'm going to begin this talk? You're all welcome to leave now if you want. Okay, so my one little joke, it's religious. I don't know my history real well, but back before the printing press and all that, when the holy books were written out by hand, copied letter by letter in those big fancy ones, there was this little room full of all these little monks carefully going blind, writing all this out. And I don't know their names, so we'll just call one guy the little monk and the other one the old one. So the little monk's writing away, and he goes to the older guy who's in charge of everything, and he says, "How do we know we're writing the right things?" And he says, "Well, because you're copying it exactly." And he says, "But how do I know the book I'm copying from is correct?" And he goes, "Well, just because it's a holy book, of course it's correct." And the little monk goes back to working, and the older monk starts thinking. He starts thinking, he goes, "I wonder." And deep down in the bowels of this building is the original copy of the holy book. He goes down there, he's down there for quite a few hours, spends a lot of time down there, and then he comes back into the room where the little monk is. And the older guy is just standing there with huge tears rolling down his face. The little guy goes, "What's wrong? What's wrong?" And he goes, "Oh my God, they left out the R. It was supposed to be celebrate." So we are going to celebrate. And as some of you know, I used to help the YOUers, the teenage group here, and which is so great having Kitty and Jeffrey here. They were a couple of my YOUers. And I used to love it because when I was in YOU, some of you congregants would come up to me and go, "Oh, Robin, it's so wonderful what you do, how you sacrifice for those children." And that was all a bunch of bull. You know, I was in it for myself. The kids were just extra. I got so much out of it and so much fun. So we don't have teenagers here anymore. And in fact, right after this service, I'm heading out to Unity Village to spend the week with a couple hundred teenagers, even though I don't have to. It's going to be a wonderful time. Oh, it's not for them, it's for me. Totally for me, all about me. Anyway, one of the things that the youth do is when we get together, it's kind of funny because sometimes we call this church service a celebration, and yet I know to Unity people, or a lot of churches you go into, it really doesn't seem like much of a celebration to me. We come in, we sit down, we sit there, and sometimes try to stay awake when there's a really boring speaker up there. So the youth don't do that. We believe in celebrating, and we believe in interaction. So there are a couple of times I'm going to ask you guys to respond to me, okay? So you have to stay awake, you have to stay present, and you have to be here. So one of the things, I'm sorry, I love Unity, but service is a little staid. So I'm going to borrow from some of our other churches, our African-American churches in America, and I'm going to ask, give me an amen! 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 Yay! Okay, we're off to a good start. So, this week is about celebration, and when David asked me to do this, I didn't even pay any attention to what the date was. And then it came up going, oh, 5th of July. Great. Nobody's going to be there. They all will have celebrated the night before and have hangovers. So I'm thrilled to see so many of you out there. And I really didn't want to do the whole independence and freedom thing. I think it's been tried and all. So I thought I'd do celebrate. And 4th of July is a wonderful time. I mean, that's what it is, right? We're celebrating. We're celebrating. And just me personally, I'm very proud to be an American, but I don't always feel pride and celebration. However, haven't the last few weeks made you really, really want to celebrate being an American? And I want you to all know it's because of me in this talk. I was focused on celebrating, so thank you. So anyway, what is celebration? I mean, we talk about celebrating. We celebrate because it feels good. We celebrate normally because we have something to celebrate. But what's the actual word mean? And I spent some time trying to come to, what actually is celebration? Is it just partying? Is it just temporary? And to me, celebrating becomes the outward manifestation of gratitude and appreciation. And as good little Unity students, I'm sure you all know that gratitude is one of the most important things we can do. If you just wake up every morning with three things in your mind of gratitude, you're going to have a good day. You really will, because you're focused on that, what it is. And appreciation, to me, those words are a little bit different, and it may just be me. Sometimes when I think of gratitude, it comes to mind with thank you, which in some languages means I'm in your debt. And it also is like there has to be something I'm grateful for. And I have to say thank you, and I have to be, oh, thank goodness this is it, which is good. I mean, get me, grateful is all wonderful. But for me, the feeling of appreciation takes me a little bit further. In other words, something doesn't have to be wonderful for me to be grateful. I can just appreciate the moment. Being here, whatever is around me that I want to appreciate. So this to me is what I think the outward manifestation. So with that in mind, we can celebrate all the time. But think about the things we do celebrate. Birthdays, holidays, 4th of July, graduations, weddings, promotions. And that's wonderful. I mean, think about all these things. We're celebrating our birthday, which is what we're doing. After acknowledging how old we are. But these are like events, and most of them are so long. Think about graduation. Poor kids probably been in preschool, kindergarten, all the way up, junior high, all of that. Here we go, here we go. Finally, high school graduation. Think of the amount of time it took to get there versus the amount of time spent celebrating it. And the minute the celebration party's over and the kid counts their money, they've got to start looking at college. Oh my God, 4 more years. Let's work, let's work, let's work. Yay, celebrate! Oh my God, got to get a job. Let's work, let's work, let's work. So to me, we spend so much of our life doing something rather than celebrating it, which means not being present. Think about when you celebrate. Royals this summer, any sporting event you've been to. When we're all yelling, yay! Are you thinking about next week or the job you've got to do Monday or the bill that's due? No, when your team does whatever it's supposed to, or when the Supreme Court finally does what they're supposed to, you are present. Amen. You are present, experiencing every moment of it. And that's what it's about. Celebration can't be had any place except now. You can talk about when I celebrated or when I'm going to celebrate, but the act of celebration is being right here, right now, in this moment. And in this moment, we have to feel gratitude. It brings us back and forth and around. Another thing that celebration does, we can. There are two types of celebrations. There is the yay! And there is the quiet, peaceful appreciation. Bliss, if you'll have it. Sometimes when you completely feel it inside. So celebration can be a group thing or a private thing. But I want to talk a minute about what group celebration does. Because you can celebrate by yourself, but all of a sudden you get two people together and celebrate. And remember that whole biblical thing? What was it? Wherever two or more, there am I? I don't read all the Bible, but some of it's pretty cool stuff in it. And think about that football team. There's a lot of people there celebrating, right? You're in there. The group makes you celebrate. It's almost, have you ever walked downtown and all of a sudden there was a parade and you weren't expecting it? You kind of get swept up into it and watch everybody else do it. There's a contagiousness about our emotions and our feelings and our happiness and our gratitude. There's a reason we weren't put on this planet all by ourselves. And it's that community and that sharing together that's so important. I don't know about you, but when I'm around people laughing, even though you don't know what they're laughing about, you sometimes start laughing. And what they say, you know, that the smile, if you feel really bad, if you actually start smiling, your body starts getting confused. And it goes, I feel miserable. Why am I smiling? And eventually you're going to start sending signals to that brain so that what may appear out here can be completely influenced and others influence us. I don't know about you, but I'm one of these people and it embarrasses the heck out of me so often I'm out there and this happens. If you cry in front of me, I'm going to start crying. Even if I could care less about what you're crying about. Am I the only one who does this? Do some of you see tears welling up in somebody's eyes? And it's contagious. That's that emotion. That's why we celebrate together. What I am feeling, you can feel. What you can feel, I can feel. And we bring it around. So part of what we want to do with celebrating is it's contagious. We want to get together. We want to share that woodness. And we want to convince our bodies we are incredibly happy no matter what the outside circumstances are. So there's a thing we do sometimes, and I don't know how many of you have ever done this or heard of it. Laughter yoga? Okay. So we're going to do laughter yoga. If you are the type of person who likes to sit in church and be spoken to, I invite you to remain seated with your hands up like this. No, but I don't say that. Some people are uncomfortable with this type of stuff. This is why us white people church don't do it all the time. So what I want you to do is we're going to get up. Get up. Get way up. Okay, and you're going to find somebody. Okay? You're going to turn to them one-on-one. Face them. It can be three, but I'd prefer it to be two or three. Okay, guys, this is one of those embarrassing eye contact type things. And because this is going to fit so much, you are going to do that little embarrassed laugh. You guys know that? Okay, so look at each other and laugh embarrassingly. Lost him. Okay, pause. Pause. Oh, it works with adults too. With teenagers, we always do that and they eventually shut up. So you guys blew it, okay? We're supposed to build up to the belly laugh. That was the little embarrassed snicker. Okay, you guys didn't do that very well. Okay, turn around, find somebody else. Eye contact again. This one is the out loud belly laugh until you're almost rolling on the floor. Give it all you got. Thank you. You guys aren't having enough fun. You want to do one more? Nope, said it. Okay, but all kind, okay, so have your seats. So, see what that did? It does all kinds of things for you. You're probably feeling pretty good. In the laughter, you may have forgotten whatever's waiting for you to do at home. And, I mean, all that healthy stuff, you know, the air, the oxygen, all those things, the outward really, really changes us. So what I invite you to do is anytime you need something like this, try it. When you're feeling bad, try laughing. But what about those times when it's just not working? You know, you all sit down and go, I got nothing to celebrate. I got nothing to feel grateful for. That can happen. But look around. Eventually something will come to you. This week, I'm not a great gardener. In fact, I'm not sure I'd even call myself a gardener of any sort. And I've got this really, really huge yard, really big. And I have put down two riding lawnmowers, meaning they're dead and don't work. And a couple other things, and I got no tools. And you know, I am a young, healthy, vibrant woman. Until it comes to mowing my lawn with a little push mower without that thing, and then, my God, I'm an old woman. How do they expect me to do this? Anyway, the city kind of decided they didn't think my weeds were pretty. So I'm out here trying to get this stuff that I didn't get soon enough, and, you know, I'm sweating and, again, feeling old, and it's not fair. I shouldn't have to do this, da-da-da. Got a couple of kids. What are they doing? They're inside watching TV. But anyway, and as I'm working myself up into that frenzy, all of a sudden I remember, oh yeah, you're supposed to give a sermon on celebrating, aren't you? Did you ever notice whenever you have to teach something, it's exactly what you're supposed to learn? You know, some people think you have to be an expert to teach something. No, you have to be really bad at it and trying really hard. Amen. 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 Okay, so as I'm out there in this sweat, unhappy, working myself into a real pity party, I go, okay, what about this is there to feel good about? And all of a sudden it hit me. My God, this is a lawnmower. It is not a snow shovel. And all of a sudden with that turned, because personally I hate winter, turned it around for me. So all of a sudden it was like, wow, you're not in boots and wet and shoveling like mad. You're out here, it's not even that hot really, enjoying the day. And lo and behold, all of a sudden this job that I have been putting off for a really, really long time, hence the high weeds, became something easy to do. And I just plowed right through and got it done. So that's called kind of being present. What we do, finding something to do, feeling better about it. Another point of celebrating is, like I said, we've talked about, it helps to celebrate with others. It helps to find something to celebrate even when you can't find it there. And there's also something called participation or being present to it. Yesterday I went downtown for the 4th of July celebration. I came home, I didn't see the fireworks. I've kind of seen enough of those. But while we talk about fireworks, how many of you saw fireworks last night? How many of you have seen fireworks in your lifetime? How many of you have watched fireworks on a TV show? Was there a difference? That's the difference between all-in participation and observation. And I mean, we've got some great TVs now. I mean, you know, I can't get to Washington and watch the big celebration, so I like to watch it on TV. But it's not the same as sitting there having the bugs bite you, the jerk in front of you who won't get out of the way and let you see, but all of the oohs, ahs, woo. So anyway, so I went down a little bit earlier for the food fest and got there before the crowds, and it was great. And I have been a person who likes holidays and celebrates. In fact, unfortunately, my dear children, I would, another form of laughter, the private joke no one else in the room gets. That would be observing instead of participating. So I was very blessed to have three daughters. And I was also very blessed to be somewhat of an artist or a creative person, and my mama taught me how to sew. So with three daughters, what else can you do but sew them cute little matching outfits, right? Now, we had the Christmas outfits, we had the Easter outfits, we had the St. Patrick's, 4th of July, Halloween, gotta be another one in there, you know? And so they were always dressed in a theme. And the reason I bring this up, because I was observing that in the park. As I was walking around the park, it was, you know, as a photographer, I'm a bit of a voyeur, and that's really wonderful to people watch. And I was watching some of these families. Oh my God, there was this one little girl. And her mama, fortunately, had the camera in her face, which maybe meant she wasn't participating as much as observing. Little tiny girl dressed in all kinds of red, white, and blue outfits all up there. A little snow white pebbles pigtail straight up on the top of her head, eating this giant ear of corn. And attached to the corn is a balloon wrapped around the ear of corn as she eats it so she doesn't lose it. I've got to tell you, I was celebrating there with her. I thought that was fantastic. And many times as a photographer, I try to capture it. The minute you capture it with a camera, the moment escapes and you're not a participant. So I didn't take a camera with me yesterday, and I wasn't staying a long time, and I didn't have children with me. And I walked around and had one of the very best 4th of Julys I think I've ever had. It was a Norman Rockwell scene out there, guys. Every place you turned around, and I got present. Oh, I got present. It was like, oh my God, I'm so happy to live in Lawrence, Kansas. Oh my God, I'm really proud of my country right now. Oh, look at that ridiculous outfit he's wearing. But all the the clothing was great. The laughter was great. The food was great. So in a way, I was participating by observation. I was feeling it all with them. And in some ways, I realized more than them. Because I saw one little family come by, you know, with the stroller and the one on the hip and the dad and the mom and the cute dressed kids. They didn't look like they were enjoying themselves as much as I was. You know, and I kind of saw that. Some of these gorgeous pictures I was seeing, it was almost easier. So I felt sorry. Those people weren't actually being there in the moment. And it kind of broke my heart a little because I wonder how often I wasn't there in the moment. How often I threw a party for a child graduating from high school, and instead of feeling what they felt, I was busy, worried about, oh my God, how many guests do we have? Is the ice there? I've got to get this out. You know, you do all this, and life's gone. So it becomes really, really important that we celebrate and give thanks. So I'd like you all, right now, just get centered and quiet. Think of three things you appreciate, you are grateful for, and you want to celebrate. Breathe into that. Really become present to what that feels like. The joy bubbling up inside of you. The wonderment that you actually have this to be a part of, to give thanks for those things in your life that are so special, they're going to bring tears to your eyes.
Do you feel it? Are you there? I want you to open your eyes. I want you to remember those things you were celebrating. This is called the inward silent celebration. Now, we're going to do the other. And you knew it had to happen. Get ready. Stand up and celebrate! Mother's revenge because my daughter's giving the meditation. The point I want to make, if you didn't get it, is the conclusion that it's a circle. We get up and dance, we feel it inside. We feel it inside, we feel the gratitude, the appreciation, and the silence. Once we feel that joy inside, it wants to express itself outside. It's a vicious circle, and be part of it.